Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Curry. Thank you for joining us today. You know, yesterday we started looking at the Apostle Paul when he came to the Lord and said, "This is too much for me to handle." You see, he was being buffeted by an angel of the devil, and he was really concerned for himself. And he said to the Lord three times, "This is more than I can handle." And God replied to him and said, "My grace is sufficient for you to handle anything. God's grace is enough for all of us." And so what happened was, we started discovering that Paul said, the Apostle Paul, he said, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong." So that's when I glorify in my weaknesses, because when I acknowledge that I'm weak and cannot do things on my own without God, then I'm strong. I get God's strength. And so we started looking at that, and we realized that the Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride comes contention." And proud people, we discovered, won't ever need help or won't ever ask for help because they believe they can do it all. So they don't need God, and therefore they're always weak because they're not walking in God's strength. They're walking in their own strength, which is really being weak. So we want to pick it up again and see what this means in our lives and how we can overcome these problems. Because remember, God's grace is sufficient for you and for me for any situation you might be facing. And that grace will turn that situation around to turn into your own favor. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday.
According to Proverbs 13:10, only by pride comes contention. So the offense or the unforgiveness or whatever it is, whether it's legitimate or not, come on, is locked up in pride. Can you understand that? And a proud person will never admit weakness. Say, proud people don't admit weakness. Now, maybe you're not one of those in pride, but maybe you are. This will help you overcome that stuff. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have to wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, God, help." I do. Every morning, "God, help me." God's not going to handle your problem for you because you think you can. You got this. If you're handling your own problems, then you don't need to get God to handle it for you. Instead of, He's got the whole world in His hand. No, you got the whole world on your shoulders. You're trying to take care of everything. You're trying to think that you're just the bee's knees. Is that a saying in America, the bee's knees? It is? Listen to this. And I've been reading this every morning, and boy, I read it to someone yesterday and they started to weep. They started to weep. Listen to this. Examination of conscience. I don't want weeping yet, but if you do, that's good. "My child," God speaking, "think about your interior attitudes and disposition. Have your thoughts, your aspirations, your words, your actions of this day been worthy of one of my apostles or disciples? Have your problems overcome you again today? How many times have you fallen? What was the reason? Think it over well. Think about the means available to you that my grace may increase in you. Congregational worship and Holy Communion, morning offering, evening thanks, devotions, meditation, prayer, examination of conscience, altar or chapel visits, family prayer, blessings before your meals, spiritual direction. Have you neglected to form one or several of these means of sanctification? Why?" I'm not going to go on with that page. I just want to give you a little bit of another page. And I mean, there's tons of this stuff. And it's really something fantastic to read because it just shows you where you're at. Listen to this. in regard to myself? Have I, through mediocrity, excused myself from guilt because the sin is habitual or caused by social pressure? Have I acted because of whims and feeling? Have I used time ineffectively? Have I organized myself so intensely with my finances and my time that I'm no longer capable of spontaneous generosity? Through disorder and lack of planning, have I used material possessions improperly? Have I been weak in making and holding to decisions? Have I lacked perseverance and logic in carrying things out? Have I left work half done without serious reason? Have I been discouraged by difficulties or setbacks? Have I failed to take time for being alone, for reflection, for recollection? Through pride and vanity, have I been vain, praise-loving, proud, smug, indulged in allowing my feelings to be hurt, acted out of an ambition or the desire to be noticed? Have I failed to recognize my limits and accept them? Have I made snap judgments and commitments to give the impression I know all about a subject? That's one I battle with. And I've got, there's about 50 more of those, at least. And I've had to check off our whole list. And we've got to work on ourselves. See, that's where the rubber meets the road. It's not in standing up in front of people and acting all smug and wonderful and look at me, I'm the pastor of the church. No, I could be going through more trash than anyone in the church. And it's not about you sitting there looking holier than your neighbor, because you're probably going through as much trash as they are. Yes, am I right? You've got issues in your life. Come on, you've got situations in your life that you're not proud about. There are things in your life, if I could shine a spotlight on it right now, you'd say, no, please don't. Am I right? And this is where we take care of business. And when you're so proud that you think you got it all going on, then God's really not available to help you. Amen. And you might be wondering why.
Come on, Pastor.
You might be thinking why. Can you say amen? So I want to read verse 9 again. And he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let me tell you, when the devil comes against you for something you're doing for the kingdom of God, God's strength rises up in you. And that's when you stand up and say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's when you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19. Are you with me now? But when you've got it all going on, you can't claim those scriptures. Now we must remember that God uses the weak to confound the mighty. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. I'm reading from verse 27. You can jot down these scriptures out of the NIV. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. When you're faced with a big challenge, do you automatically look for the most powerful means to solve the problem? We do. You've got a financial problem, you call the bank. That's the most powerful institute that you know that can help you. We don't go to God first. And then we don't trust God after we've asked him. And he says, when you pray, believe you got it and you'll have it. So we got a little bit of confusion going on in the body of Christ. So if we can just make some changes in our life, we can start being victorious in our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. The way that God thinks, look at verse 28. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And I'm going to show you some people who weren't big deal and didn't know they could do something and how God used them. Verse 29, so that no one can boast before him. Boasting is pride. God doesn't like pride. In actual fact, in the Proverbs, he says there are seven things he hates. And the first thing he names is pride. Come on. He hates it. Doesn't dislike it. Hates. Does God hate? Yeah. He hates pride because the enemy is full of it. And when we're in pride and we're arguing, my wife mentioned the scripture. It's actually James 4:16 says, where there's envy and strife, there's every evil and confusion. Amen. But now envy and strife come only through contention, and pride is the reason. Yeah. Only by pride comes contention. So when there's envy and strife and arguing and going on, there's every evil available right there in your room. Come on. You're very quiet this morning. It's okay. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Amen. Listen, and you may feel inadequate. I know I did for the longest time. When God told me to come and preach, I thought, you're kidding me. Are you kidding? People don't know this. When I was growing up, I was so shy that I would hide behind the door because my dad would make me sing because I could sing. In actual fact, this next week, I'm going to be leading praise and worship because Pastor Jay is going to be on honeymoon. So who knows what's going to happen? Pray for me. And Simone's not available, so pray. We're going to see what happens. Amen. Amen. But do you know that I would look through the, I'd take the door, I'd open the door against me, like I'd go behind it, the people would be there, I'd look through the crack and I'd sing. That's how shy I was. And when God told me to start preaching the word, I felt so inadequate. And I felt weak. I thought, I can't do this. There's no ways I can do this. And God saw that weakness that I acknowledged and he produced inside me. Amen. Not me, him. Come on, it's not me, it's him. Amen. People come to me and say, oh, you make it so plain, so easy to understand. I hear that all the time. Because I need to hear it very plainly for me to understand. Amen. There are people that can preach rings around me, and they're not preaching. Come on. You got to get rid of the pride inside of you. Yes. Amen? Oh, Jesus. Pastor, we were on a good track right there. Now you kind of messed it up. But you might feel you haven't got any answer to the giants that you're facing. There could be giants of sickness, giants of kids not serving God, giants of no money, giants of fear, and whatever the giant is in your life, you could be feeling inadequate and know that you cannot do it. And if you know that you cannot do it apart from Jesus Christ, you're in a good place, my brother, my sister. Really, if you see situations that you've tried everything in your own natural ability, your own strength, you've used the banks, you've used the doctors, you've used the psychologists and the psychiatrists, you've been to the principal, you've done all that you know how to do, and you've reached that place where you say, I can't do this. Amen. You're in a great place. Amen. When you recognize, I am not strong until I'm weak. Yeah. And I'm talking about weak in big deal attitude. When you're weak and you realize, I recognize I need Jesus. I recognize I need Jesus. That's when I got saved. I don't know about you. One day I woke up after God was telling me for a solid year, you need to be saved, you need to be saved, you need to be saved. A solid year, every day he drove me nuts. And I was so proud. I owned steakhouses and all kinds of business. And I was doing so good, I didn't need nothing or nobody. And the fact that he was telling me that there's a war in the heavenlies, I thought he was nuts. It's true. And so, but then one day I just woke up. I said, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And I phoned him. He came and picked me up. Before I put the phone down, he was wheel spinning in front of my house. It was quite amazing. I mean, like, I need to go to church. And he stayed a few miles away. I mean, I think he was waiting on the corner. I mean, this guy was after me for the kingdom like you have no idea. And I went that morning and I sat in a service like this and the pastor preached the message that I'd never heard in my life. And my spirit exploded inside me. And when he said, if you want to get saved, you need Jesus, come to the front. I ran. I think I pushed people out of my way.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solus Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Solus Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solus Roofing Contractors, Incorporated, licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solus Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer.